count the elections, and nobody's bothered to oversee them, and they're just free to...
Oh, there's a lot of work to be done in that regard, and we're going to have to look at Multnomah County elections, especially after the scam over the GMO vote recently, and I'm glad that you brought that up. And we are out of time, and so I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're right at the top of the hour. So thank you very much for calling in. Now stay tuned, because you're listening to KBOO Portland. This has been Press Watch, and Flashpoints is next. And we're broadcasting to you via 90.7 FM on the big transmitter on the hill, other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM and the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
And it is 10 a.m. here at KBOO Portland. Coming right up is Flashpoints. We are going to hear about the homeless of Salinas, California, who are suing their city for illegally seizing and destroying their property. And the Electronic Intifada features an interview with Rafif Ziada, a Palestinian refugee poet and activist. At 11, the guest on Between the Covers is Oregon writer Amber Kaiser. She talks about her new novel, The Way Back from Broken, which tells the story of two young people thrown together by a shared tragedy who find healing in the Canadian wilderness. And at 11:30 on the film show, the guests are artist and filmmaker Mark Andres, documentarian Gina Labrick, and Dan Halstead of the Hollywood Theater. Thank you, KBOO members, for supporting community radio. If you are not a current member, it is a wonderful time of year to become one. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Listen to The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of each month at 11:30 a.m. The Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Tune in to Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
Flashpoints, the homeless of Salinas, California, sue their city in federal court for illegally seizing and destroying their property instead of providing adequate housing. Also, we'll feature a new edition of the Electronic Intifada, hosted by Nora Barrows Friedman. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. We turn our attention back to homelessness. Now we take it to Salinas, California. Salinas, California is, there's a battle going on. Yesterday, a group of homeless individuals in Salinas took legal action in federal court to stop the city of Salinas from continuing its illegal practice of seizing and destroying the property of homeless people. Now, joining us to talk about this is one of the attorneys acting on behalf of the homeless. That's Anthony Prince. We welcome you into the studio, Anthony, and welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And we have on the phone from Salinas one of the main plaintiffs in the suit. And joining us is Rita Acosta. Welcome, Rita, to Flashpoints. Rita, let me start with you. Tell us a little bit about what it's been like being homeless in Santa Cruz, because I understand that actually things were going okay, that you had helped create a community, Tents by the Garden, which was self-policed, self-governed, and self-organized. Talk about that.
Yes, well, in 2012, me and the rest of the community out here in Salinas, California, started Tents by the Garden. It was a rules-run tent community. We have, like, 28 people that was all into it all together. We also started a FLESH program. The FLESH stands for Public Hygiene That You Stay Human. So we got a porta potty also on our camping area. And then the city had a sweep out here in January 31st, 2013. They had a sweep and they moved us all out, had closed off our area where we were at with gates and everything. So they closed us down. And now they complain about the streets being all unorganized, that the homeless are unorganized. And I would tell them that's totally not true, for the fact that when we were organized, they closed our area down and had put us on the sidewalk. So now they're complaining about it. And I said, this is their mess. They're the ones who made it. They need to clean it up. But we do have porta potties still out here now.
Talk a little bit about what kind of struggle it's been, particularly since they threw you back out into the street. What's daily life like these days?
Well, it's rougher for the fact that we're sleeping on the sidewalks, and some of the tents are you know, towards the street. We've actually had people's cars hit people's tents and stuff like that. And myself, I had somebody reverse their van into my tent. Because they were in drive and they reversed all the way into my tent and pushed me all the way to the back. So it's scary. It's dangerous.
How do they go about seizing your property, your material? What does that look like? Describe a situation.
Well, actually, it's a police department that comes out here with the city. They start around 8 o'clock and they just start from one end of the of Soledad Street until they make their ways all the way around it. They tell us, you guys should have been ready with your things out. And we're saying, how can we be ready with our things out when we don't have any place to take our things? So it makes it a little bit difficult. And whatever we can't take with us, they just get. They're like a bulldozer thing that comes in and just sweeps everything up and puts it straight into the trash.
They just throw your belongings right into the trash.
Yeah, straight into the garbage can. They don't ask us anything. They just take it. You know, they tell us, we gave you enough time to get your things out. We're like, out to where? When there is nowhere else to go.
Sometimes do people get hurt physically? Are people so upset that they try and defend their materials?
Well, actually, in the Sherwood Park area, there was a group of homeless that live over there at the park, and they just came like around 7:30 in the morning and started throwing everybody's stuff out. And there's this young man, he works. So when they were throwing his stuff in there, he's all, hey, I got my work stuff in there. And he actually jumped into the dumpster, well, to the big old trash can to get start throwing his stuff out. And no sooner than he jumped out, the big old load came up on, almost just crushed him. So he actually was lucky that he jumped out when he did, because they didn't even take in consideration. They just figured, well, it's just some homeless guy trying to get his stuff. He's in the wrong. You know, so they just went on about the procedure. And even more so, one gentleman told him, if you can give me some money, I can get you your stuff out. We're like, you know, that's the way to do it. When you ain't got nothing, they just want to take you more from you, you know.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Rita Acosta. She's talking to us from Salinas, California, down south, where the homeless are under attack, like so many homeless communities from coast to coast. There's now a pattern and practice of attacking the homeless, of undermining the homeless, and even attacking the folks who are trying to help the homeless, the food givers who are trying to help. Anybody working with or for the homeless or anybody homeless is now part of a national sweep to clean the streets. And let me bring you into this, Anthony Prince. You're one of the lawyers in terms of filing this federal lawsuit. Could you tell us a little bit about the suit? What exactly did you claim?
Well, Dennis, essentially the lawsuit challenges the constitutionality of the city's policy and practice of seizing and destroying property that belongs to homeless persons. As you know, under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, people have a right, a property interest, which cannot be breached without due process. The government cannot seize property, personal property, without notice and an opportunity to be heard. Those are the two essential elements of due process. So we filed the lawsuit against the city of Salinas because in the case of what they have termed bulky items, and a bulky item they loosely define as anything that cannot be disposed of in the normal manner. And that is such a vague and overbroad definition that it sweeps too broadly, conceivably tents, bedding, mattresses, containers, all manner of personal property can and has been destroyed pursuant to that definition. So we're in federal court challenging the city's policy and practice of destroying the property of homeless people.
What rights do the homeless have? Is it illegal to be homeless?
Well, it's not illegal to be homeless in the United States, but what we see increasingly is an effort to criminalize the status of being homeless. As you may know, it is against American jurisprudence to criminalize a person or a subclass of people based on their status. There was an effort years ago. Well, not an effort. It used to be that if you, for example, had a drug addicts were classified, their status, standing alone was an illegal status. If you were a drug user, you were by definition a criminal. Well, they're doing that now with the homeless. They're saying, well, if you're homeless and you engage in certain conduct that is absolutely unavoidable if you're homeless, we're going to criminalize that conduct, and therefore we're criminalizing your status as a homeless person.
So Rita said when they had established their own community, the tents by the garden, they said that they got a porta potty. Now, anybody, you don't have to be homeless to be stuck on the street and have to go to the bathroom, and there's no place to go unless you can pay $2 or $3 to go into a restaurant and buy a cup of coffee. You might be able to get access to a bathroom. But I guess it's illegal to relieve yourself in the street, and yet there's no place. There are fewer and fewer public bathrooms to go into. So, again, you can't be a human being and be alive without a house.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And, in fact, what you just articulated, Dennis, is exactly the position of the United States Department of Justice. They recently issued what's called a statement of interest. I think yesterday you may have discussed a situation in Boise, Idaho, where there's also a federal lawsuit, Bell versus Boise, which the United States government Department of Justice has weighed in on and taken a position. And their position is exactly that, that certain human necessary functions they're unavoidable. And they cannot be a person cannot be put in the position where we're going to arrest you, criminalize you, or make criminal the performance of a necessary biological function, such as sleeping, such as relieving oneself. So if you don't have a home and there's no shelter available, then you have no choice but to break these laws. And that's what's at stake in this lawsuit.
And a lot of times, if the powers that be, whoever they are, observe this, you can be arrested. You can be brutalized. I saw the other day a homeless man went into a corner and tried to relieve himself. And he, the brutality with which he was taken down for having to do something. He had no choice. He wasn't trying to make a public scene. He had no choice. And there was a public bathroom about 25 yards away, but it was locked.
Right,
was it locked? According to officials here in the Bay Area, national security. We have to keep these bathrooms down. I've noted this in the BART stations. They say national security, but then you look, there's a Pete's Coffee, and they've got a cash machine there, and the Pete's can go to the bathroom, but the homeless can't.
Well, that's interesting, because I think that's part of a broader pattern of privatizing what used to be public functions.
The commons, right.
Everything from public education to the commons to facilities to parks. One of the things they're doing in Salinas, and it is actually expressly enshrined in the administrative procedures implementing the ordinance, is that they want to change the parks. They're instructing their contractor, Smith & Unright, a landscaping company, to not only seize and destroy the property of the homeless, break up their encampments, but to destroy the foliage such that homeless persons will be prevented from what they call hiding or being away from public view. It reminded me of the war in Vietnam, where the strategy of the United States government was to destroy the entire landscape of the country in order to supposedly prevent what we termed our enemies at that time from concealing themselves. Well, now we see a similar strategy. So the issue is, are the people of Salinas, are the people of California going to tolerate the destruction of public lands, of publicly, ostensibly publicly owned facilities, in exchange for a war on homeless people, which is, you talked off air, everyone's one step away, a paycheck away, a layoff away, or a banknote, a mortgage payment away from becoming homeless. We're encouraged, though, Dennis. We're encouraged by the support we're getting as we battle the city of Salinas. People are realizing that this could happen to them. People are realizing that 2 days before Christmas, you can't worship the man on Sunday and then step over him on Monday.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Attorney Anthony Prince. He is representing a group of homeless in Salinas who, like in Santa Cruz, are under attack for what? Being homeless in a country that has seen an extraordinary movement of wealth upwards. We've talked a lot about the 1%. There are more and more who have less and less as these folks become the super rich. And in the context of that, we see this incredible crackdown where the police become the force of the rich to suppress, to undermine, to put down any attempt to declare themselves human and ask for their rights. Rita, could you talk a little bit more about some of the people who are out there struggling? Tell us who's in your community there.
Well, everybody's just trying to get organized and go through their things and size down because, you know, if we can't carry it with us, we're not able to. If we can't carry it, then we shouldn't have it. That's the way they feel. They want us to be in. They say they'll allow us to be from 6 to 6 to camp. So they want us to put a tent up, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, we're supposed to roll it up and carry everything with us. And that's kind of hard. And, you know, there's a lot of seniors out here also. It's hard for them to be able to get around as it is, let alone to carry what they own. And the tent, that's just, I think it just doesn't sound right. Does it sound right to you?
Doesn't sound very good to me. What about the other side of this? Have you ask the city, and I'm going to ask the attorney in a moment, but I wanted to talk to you, Rita. Are you asking, would you like